Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda.
Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda. We are reading this morning.
Versuchen gerade, eigentlich existiert die englische Version von diesem Buch.
Ja?
Die ist verschleppt worden.
Du hast ja natürlich. Let us bring the big one. Yes. Gangamayi hath. Yagyapana namalai anukshana namalaite laite mora branta hoilamana. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here explains his experience with the Hare Krishna mantra. Please listen carefully. Since I have received this order from my spiritual master, that is to keep the holy name all with there is no alternative to chanting. Since I have received this order from my spiritual master, I always chant the holy name. But I thought that by chanting and chanting the holy name, I had been bewildered. Darya darite nari hailama unmatta Asi kandinachi gai yaitse madan matta. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself, and thus I laugh, cry, dance, and sing just like a madman. Tabedaya dharimane karilun vichara Krishna name jana chana haila amara. Collecting my patience, therefore, I began to consider that chanting the holy name of Krishna had covered all my spiritual knowledge. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hints in this verse that to chant the holy name of Krishna, one does not need to speculate on the philosophical aspects of the science of God, for one automatically becomes ecstatic and without consideration immediately chants, dances, laughs, cries, and sings just like a madman. Pagal hai ilan amidaya nahi mane eta chinti nevidilon gurura charane. I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name, and I immediately submitted this at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as an ideal teacher, shows us how a disciple should deal with his spiritual master. Whenever there is a doubt regarding any point, he should refer the matter to his spiritual master for clarification. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that while chanting and dancing, he had developed the kind of mad ecstasy that is possible only for a liberated soul. Yet even in his liberated position, he referred everything to his spiritual master whenever there were doubts. Thus, in any condition, even when liberated, we should never think ourselves independent of the spiritual master, but must refer to him as soon as there is some doubt regarding our progressive spiritual life. Very nice. What a wonderful book. I must admit, I've never seen this.
It's quite new, I
think. Yeah.
Many preachers have said.
Oops. Yeah. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paskatyadi Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Gaurabhakta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There are actually 2 points here. One is that after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had received the order to chant the holy names of the Lord, he did so with great faith in the orders of his spiritual master, and immediately developed the symptoms of love of God. So then he comes back to his spiritual master because he is a little bit surprised by what had happened. He feels a little helpless because, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, the holy name has done something with him without asking him or announcing his intention. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the holy name as a transcendental autocrat. That means he doesn't ask anyone. Autocratic rule is you don't, the king will not ask the citizens, do you think this should be done or that should be done? He just autocratically makes a decree, eine Anordnung, and that is done. So the holy name is independent. He can independently do something with us and change us around as he wishes. We are only puppets in his hands who follow his arrangements and his control also in a way. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is playing the role of an ignorant disciple, and he's surprised. What has happened with me? Someone has made something in my life which is quite unexpected. And he then goes, and his spiritual master will explain to him that he's very fortunate because he has been gotten love of Godhead. He will explain this. Prabhupada makes a little point here that a disciple should always go and refer back to his spiritual master, because even in a liberated position, the disciple will consider himself dependent on his spiritual master. Here's another point which I think is very important, that is that the holy name had done something in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. Sometimes we are wondering what has happened with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he is now dancing and sometimes crying. He cannot sit still. He runs and he becomes pale, and there are goose pimples all over his body. When this happened to Raghunath Das Goswami, while he was still at home, when he had met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his father said, "What can we do with such a madman of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" He was a little disturbed, his father, that, "Oh, my son is also showing the same symptoms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is he's a madman of Gauranga." This is how it is described. But what is mad from one perspective is something very divine from another perspective. These symptoms are actually symptoms of love, not of mental disturbances. Mad with love, I think we have sometimes this expression in the English language. The chanting of the holy name, or the result of the chanting of the holy name, is that a person who chants experiences how his heart is softened, and the sweet current of love for Krishna arises. Sometimes I think we can feel this in particularly ecstatic kirtans, where all of a sudden it seems that there's a breakthrough through the material conditioning, and an arrival in the kingdom of love for Lord Krishna. It is this love, really, which is very important in spiritual life. And I want to talk today on one quality of Lord Krishna. Krishna is prema vashya, or captivated only by love. He wants this transcendental madness in the devotee. He is impressed by it. Rupa Goswami's definition of controlled only by love is like this. He who is controlled by love is controlled only by love. What this means is that Lord Krishna can not be impressed by anything else than love. Jiva Goswami explains this by saying Lord Krishna has no expectation for other things from his devotees, such as, for instance, service or seva. It's not that Lord Krishna becomes impressed by the amount of service, amount of hours, amount of things. Krishna really only becomes impressed by whatever love is in our offering to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada expresses this very clearly by saying Krishna becomes obliged to the loving spirit of the devotee and not exactly to the service which is rendered. And so it's the devotee's attitude of love and affection for Krishna that makes Lord Krishna obliged. That's a very important point. Lord Krishna has sometimes been called a honeybee, Madhusudan bee. The honeybee will leave everything aside in the flower and just concentrate on whatever honey is, has appeared in the flower. It's a little amount, but in comparison to the amount of the green leaves and the red flower, for instance, or whatever is there, but it's at the same time the essence of the flower. When Lord Krishna approaches his devotee, he will, like the honeybee, go for that essence in the devotee's life, or what he considers the essence, that is the loving spirit of the devotee. When he, Lord Krishna, does not care for the devotee's nationality or the devotee's amount of bank balance or how the devotee is decorated and what is the haircut of the devotee and so on. Even if it's a very nice seeker, Krishna is not so impressed by the by these external things, which may impress the world of men, but Krishna looks really for that one quality in the devotee, that is the love, just like a honeybee will only look for the honey in the flower. There's an example given by Srila Rupa Goswami, which makes it a little bit more understandable how Krishna really is controlled by love. The example is of Sudama Vipra, who was so poor. You can't believe how poor he was. He was not sometimes able to eat a proper meal during a day. We eat usually three times a day, and we have olive oil and everything. But Sudama Vipra was so poor that finally his wife sent him to Lord Krishna in Dwaraka so that he would ask for some financial aid, financial help. It must have been a very poor Grihastha ashram. Now, it's customary to bring ein Gastgeschenk, to bring a present to your host. And there was nothing available in the household, so that the wife went begging and got some broken rice. And she gave that in a little bag, a bag which Sudama kept under his arm. So when he arrived at the, he was thinking all the time of his dear friend Lord Krishna. The time of his journey passed very quickly because he was in Krishna Smaranam. He had to take a boat from the festland, the shore of India, to Dwaraka, which was an island. But he didn't have enough money. He didn't have money to pay the fare even. And the boatsman just took him for free because he was obviously very Brahminical, but very, very poor. So poor. So he arrived at Lord Krishna's palace, steeped in loving thoughts of their mutual past, where they went to the same Gurukul. And when he arrived at Krishna's palace, Krishna himself, you know, feeling that love of Sudama, he washed him his lotus feet, and Rukmini helped him. Then Krishna set him down on his bed to have some intimate conversations with Sudama, because he felt very attracted to this great devotee who thought of him all the time. They talked about their school days, which is when they met. They met at the ashram of Sandipani Muni. And when Krishna was talking about this, it is described in Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, The lotus-eyed Supreme Lord felt intense ecstasy upon touching the body of his dear friend, the wise Brahmana, and thus he shed tears of love. He couldn't control himself. Then he asked, "Have you brought anything for me?" And Sudama said, "No, I'm very poor, I'm very sorry." He did not want to offer what his wife had so managed to collect. So Krishna snatched the little bag which Sudama carried, and please remember, he carried it under his armpit. It was soaked in salty sweat, because in India, when we walk, we become sweaty a little bit. Yogesh notes that it's very hot there. And Krishna began to eat that rice. It was not even cooked, which had the salt of the sweat of his devotee. Imagine. And Rukmini was shocked. She said, "My Lord," he snatched one, a little rice, and then he wanted to take seconds. But Rukmini said, "My Lord, this is not fit for your consummation. Please, by having taken one meal, you have already given yourself over to this Brahmana. I mean, he has so much benefit already. No need to take more." This is an example for you, for us, which shows us that really Sudama had nothing to offer except for love itself. And Lord Krishna became so controlled by this that he sat on his bed and he couldn't compose himself. All of a sudden, the powerful ruler of all the universes sat on the bed and cried in ecstasy like a child. Imagine the quality of Lord Krishna, that he is so captivated by the love of his devotees. Another second example is Mother Yashoda. You all know Mother Yashoda had boiled some milk for Lord Krishna, and in the midst of the making milk, there was Krishna called for her, and she breastfed Krishna. Now the milk saw at that time, this is Jiva Goswami's explanation, that Mother Yashoda had unlimited amounts of love for Krishna. Krishna accepts the love of his devotees unlimitedly. So the milk thought, Krishna will drink now so much milk from Mother Yashoda, he will drink his fill, it's called in English. Bisafoles. And then, how will I serve Krishna? Because he will be full. "Oh, what is the use of my life?" said the milk. I am meant to live in devotion for Krishna, but I cannot offer him my milk. I might as well commit suicide. And in this way, the milk jumped out of the pot and jumped into the fire. If you think the milk boiled over, you are extremely ignorant of the activities in Vrindavan. Frank, if you think the milk boiled over, this is wrong. The milk was so disturbed that he could not serve Lord Krishna, that he committed suicide. Wanted to commit suicide. Now when Yashoda saw this, she immediately wanted to save this Sri Milk devotee and went over to the milk to take it away from the stove so that it could not commit suicide, because suicide is not recommended in devotional service. Hare Krishna. So, anyways, it's a long story. This milk was special milk. Yashoda had collected this from special cows so that Krishna would stop stealing milk at the houses of others, because she thought, I will make such good milk products that Krishna has no loses all taste in other people's milk products, and then he will stop stealing. This is a good. So now, when Mother Yashoda went to save Sri Milk, the devotee, then Krishna was very disturbed. My mother has put me down. And Krishna ran away from that spot and immediately began to break one clay pot of milk. Pang! And ate the butter with tears of disappointment in his eyes. And then he began to feed the milk to the monkeys. And when they didn't want anything more, he went to some other place. Now, the question is, was Krishna really crying? He's the Lord of the universe. Can he cry? Or is he just playing a role for Leela? Leela's sake. This is a question. And the answer to this question is no, because Krishna is prema vasya, captivated only by love. When Mother Yashoda put him down and did not give him any further milk to take care of the milk, he felt so disappointed that he actually cried. And the proof is that he went to a lonely place and cried there. If Krishna would only have cried out of a show, he would just go to a place and say, everyone thinks I'm frustrated, but I'm not frustrated. I'm the Lord of Ananda. I'm full of eternal bliss and knowledge. I can never be frustrated. But Krishna went to this lonely place and he cried there because he was actually frustrated. He was disappointed in his love. So anyways, the Mother Yashoda caught up with him. She could see the little footprints of Lord Krishna, the butterfly footprints in the grass of Vrindavan, and followed this like a detective and found Krishna. Then Krishna started, and he saw his mother catching up with him. He jumped up. He was at that time sitting on a rock and just distributing some more of the butter to the monkeys, and he ran and ran. And so when Mother Yashoda began to pursue him, she was working heavily. Flowers were falling out of her hair. Her heavy breasts were moving very intensely as she was running. And finally, she caught up with Krishna. Or, as we understand, Krishna had compassion for his mother, who ran behind him and was laboring so hard to catch him. So Krishna thought, I let myself now be caught by mother. So then we all know Mother Yashoda was thinking of how to punish Krishna. At first she thought the stick, but when Krishna was so afraid and cried, she thought, this is too brutal. I can't, I have to, okay, then I bind him, then he can't do any more mischief. So Mother Yashoda brought ropes one after the other, more ropes, a whole rope shop, she exhausted. But she brought as many ropes as you would use to lay around a football field. More and more ropes. And Mother Yashoda couldn't understand why these ropes, no matter how many ropes she brought, they just couldn't bind Krishna. She could really not understand this, because the ropes always remain two fingers too short. And there were jewels and ankles around Krishna's body. In other words, it was possible to put something around Krishna's body. Why not the ropes? With so many miles of ropes, why was it always two fingers too short? Mother Yashoda, in her love, she just understood that my boy is special. My boy can't be bound by any material conditions. That means also the material energy cannot influence him. And she gave up her idea to bind Lord Krishna. And at that time, Lord Krishna, who saw the love of his mother for him, was saying, "Well, I will be bound by her love." And in fact, Mother Yashoda bound him. Later, when this whole Leela came to an end, Krishna remained bound to the mortar. He had just released the twin Arjuna trees, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, now he remained bound. The commentators asked, why didn't he now take away the rope which Mother Yashoda had used to bind him to the mortar? And they give the answer: Krishna can sever all knots, the knots of his devotee's karma. Krishna can, for instance, sever or cut through Yogesh Prabhu's karmic knots without any problem. He can just go zip and you are a free person. But what he can't sever is the knot of love which his devotee has put around him. He just can't cut it. It's more powerful than him and all his powers, because he has this quality, prema vashya. He's controlled by the devotee's love. So I find this very, very useful for bhakti, this understanding. The understanding is, sometimes we are for some reason not capable of doing as much service as we would like to do. Do you know this in your life, this situation? You may be sick, or if we are in a mataji body, we may be so mental, we may not be able to even climb down the stairs at that particular time. It may be so bad one of these days, or just there is no opportunity to do service. Everything may have gone wrong, and we feel sometimes feel frustrated in our lives. Oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. But Krishna will accept whatever you do in your loving, out of love. It may be that after a whole day of being not able to do some nice service for Krishna, you may sit down in your room and say, "Oh, my dear Lord, I see I'm totally powerless without your mercy. Oh, Krishna, please help me." And this may be more valuable than weeks of successful fundraising in the eyes of Krishna, or of weeks of repairing the Veda Academy with many nice new screws and neue Schrauben and new paint and so on. It may be this mood where you just say, "Oh, my dear Lord, I'm fully dependent on you," which in the eyes of the Lord is more useful than thousands of maybe successful dances which you have done, where audiences of 50,000 people per dance clapped in great bewunderung, appreciation. Krishna is really looking for that loving mood of the devotee. And I find this very tröstlich. Wie sagt man tröstlich? It's like a solace in difficult days. Isn't it? Very, very encouraging. Or anything may go wrong. Your book verlag may, den hast du gerade im Sand gesetzt, vielleicht finanziell. It sometimes happens in this world that it just doesn't work out what we planned. But if we have this loving mood for Krishna, it's very good. It's very nice. So it's very nice. Very nice quality of Lord Krishna, which we can think today. I think one important thing is also to understand that because Krishna is controlled by love, he is the property of whom? Of those who have this love in their heart. Prabhupada writes about this subject. He said, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees. And as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Mm-hmm. A pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants, and thus the Lord becomes pleased, and only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulasi leaves stuck to his lotus feet. Yeah, so we must find the servant of the servant of the servant, and of someone who has Krishna, and the heart, and only then the devotee can relish the taste of the tulasi leaves stuck to Krishna's lotus feet. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted, feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees, and once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. So this is a very interesting and very necessary point of bhakti, that the devotee understands, because Krishna is controlled by love, let me go to a devotee and ask him for his help in my case. I think we have this in the dealings of the world. You know, if it's very difficult to reach a well-known man, we feel, let me go through someone who this man knows, isn't it? This is extremely common in our life. And we also go with this mood to the devotees of Lord Krishna, and we ask them to help them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in one of his prayers, the merciful devotee will intervenieren. He will intervene on my behalf and request Lord Krishna on my behalf, and then the Lord, who cannot say no to his devotee, will come and save me. This is a very important aspect of Vaishnava philosophy and practice. And we go to such devotees and we request them, please, some mercy. Even some little mercy is already sufficient for me. And in this way, the devotee might request Lord Krishna, please Krishna, drücke beide Augen zu, and just overlook the faults of the devotee. He's actually very serious. In his heart, he's very serious. And then Krishna, who's controlled by the devotees, would say, because you asked me, I will take care of this devotee. He is connected to you, and therefore he is connected to me. This is how Krishna will feel. Krishna. So this is Prema Vashya. Lord Krishna is controlled only by love. This means nothing else. And we can hear from this wonderful text, which is written in this most amazing book, with just many pages. Wow! We can understand that Lord, by the chanting of the holy name, this love can come. It is given to us from the spiritual platform. It is injected in our hearts. Something very nice. I think we can understand this chanting is so important in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It's somehow we have to make it work in our lives. We have to see how it can work. Our Yogeshji is a yogi, and it's very important to learn how to make it, how to control the mind in such a way that you can chant with unlimited amounts of happiness and so on. Okay, gut. Sind dazu irgendwelche Fragen? You have questions? Gadadha.
You said that Krishna, he takes, he's only interested in love. And sometimes we think, we may think, oh, I don't have any love, but at least I can offer some service. How is this? Also, it's said that Krishna, if someone even unknowingly offers some service, he never forgets this.
Yeah.
I also had this. Just to. Because this one point is so relevant that you made, but just to...
Ich verstehe.
It's appreciated even if one doesn't have some love.
When someone does some... so there are two things. I would say there's something like agyata sukriti, where a person just connects the devotional service in some ways. And usually if this happens, he is connecting with devotees in some ways. And Krishna is very mindful of this. Also er nimmt das sehr zur Kenntnis, if someone has some contact with the devotees. And he helps. But what is about someone who feels in devotional service or in Krishna consciousness, he doesn't have any love for Krishna? See, this, but so he does some service. There are two considerations here. One is that devotional service is to contact Lord Krishna with devotional service. How to express it? Devotional service in itself has a certain potency. Jiva Goswami gives this example of the rat who just comes on the altar and does, you grabs the wick to eat it because she thinks it's a cheese, a little cheese, but then this ghee wick, which is really only a ghee wick, catches fire again. It was just in the process of being extinguished, and then the rat, in order to save his life, just went like this to, goes like this to extinguish the wick, you know. And Krishna accepts this as devotional service. It's akyata sukriti. The rat gets his spirit body and goes back to Godhead. So this is an example how the potency of devotional service, which is there. This is one consideration. It's powerful to contact Krishna, even ignorantly. But now if you speak of someone who says, I don't have love, let me do some service. I think the service is an expression of love in its beginning stage, and also, of course, in its final states. Service is also always an expression of love. There is, for instance, in service you have to pay some attention, and to give attention is the seed of love. For instance, when you chant, you may chant without I think in chanting, in the service, devotional service of chanting the holy name, this becomes very, very clear. You chant and you feel your heart is dry, but you think, let me anyways continue to chant, and let me try to focus my attention. And in this attentional chanting with attention, there is a seed. The beginning seed of love is there, and out of this seed, the whole plant or love can grow like a plant, which grows from the thing. So, doing a service for Krishna, any kind of service, means really to pay attention to Krishna, and to do something. Yeah, this is, or to do for his devotees. You know, all these devotees are very helpless. They don't know so many things. Let me help them. You know, it's a beginning of love is really there for Krishna. And Krishna sees this. If you do service for the devotees or do service for him, and you will see how in your heart this, from this seed, love can grow. I have very practical realizations in this. That I want to give an example which is very close to all of us. Sometimes we come to a festival, there are many people there in the festival, and many devotees may come to have a social gathering, and we may feel out of place. Like someone who goes to a party and doesn't feel in place. There's so many people and so on and so forth. I have this experience very strongly, and usually what I do is I do some devotional service at that time. When I feel like this, I organize some programs for the devotees, or I just sit all day in the temple and sing and dance for Krishna's pleasure and so on. I just do some service. And usually after some time of doing service, something sprouts in the heart. And one feels some loving attraction to Lord Krishna and to his devotees. It usually works. Please try it. If you do service, if you do some service for Lord Krishna and for the devotees, love will sprout in your heart, because service is a beginning of love. There is some beginning in there. A seed of love is in there. You know yourself from your little experiences with human beings, when you do some service, after some time, something comes, you know, in the heart. So it's very nice. I think Prabhupada knew that we have not so much love in our heart for Lord Krishna. And if we have, you know, love of God, it means after all something where no selfishness is there. So he knew that, and therefore he just engaged us like anything, you know. Wow, from morning till evening, you know. So hoping that something would come by this. Krishna's one name is Bhava Grahi Janardana. He's Janardana, okay. Krishna, who's in the Janas, in the people. He takes the Bhava, the loving mood, which is the Graha, the essence. He takes the essence of the loving mood of his devotees. And he might detect love, you know, in places where you wouldn't detect love. He detects love in service. It's only a seed which is in there. And he says, wonderful, very good. Kala Kantati, your hand was up? Is there an explanation? Yes. It means Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, it means that Krishna cannot be bound either by jnana and by karma. It is your own speculations, you can't get Krishna, nor your own endeavors. He has to really reveal himself. This is the point also, which this quality of Krishna makes. He's only controlled by love. So own speculations and own endeavors don't reach the Lord. That's why it's two finger. Isn't Krishna wonderful, Yogesh? All right, so we will end here, and I wish you some love in your heart for Lord Krishna, and some attraction, so that your day will be very, very Krishna conscious today. It's nice to hear about Krishna's qualities. I'm now in my old age. Go through each Krishna's quality, and then I think what comes into the mind, and do some research in the books, and I find some ocean of information. It's also so nice to just speak about them. Tomorrow we will hear another quality. This quality I like very much. Tomorrow I wanted to speak about Karuna. Krishna is full of compassion. We could also talk about Krishna is very truthful. That's a tricky one. It's not so easy. Okay. Yeah.
Und zwar, wenn du gesagt hast, dass man erleidet euch das Kern der Heiligen Namen, dass ich automatisch so als Nebenprodukt der Firma mich gute Charaktereigenschaften entwickeln kann. Aber ich glaube auch, um
Man muss tatsächlich von beiden Seiten rauskommen. Wie also Schimmelpilz, den muss man von beiden Seiten verpacken. Und Bhaktivinoda Thakur erzählt uns, wie wir das machen bei unserem schlechten Charakter. Man muss diese Sachen erkennen, das wird immer wieder gesagt. Man muss sich dazu stellen, und denn das Schlimmste mit Devotional Service, also wo man aufpassen muss bei der Ausübung, ist Selbsttäuschung. Das wird immer wieder gesagt. Selbsttäuschung ist, man nennt das Kapatya, Selbstbetrug. Wenn du also merkst, wenn ein Devotee merkt, da sind schlechte Charaktereigenschaften, dann wendet er sich an Krishna mit der Bitte, diese Charaktereigenschaften zu lösen. Das wird von Bhaktivinoda Thakur so erklärt, dass der Devotee ein bestimmtes Lila über Krishna erhört, was das Aufheben dieser Charaktereigenschaft repräsentiert, und wendet sich an Krishna. Ich möchte zum Beispiel ein Beispiel geben, was man kennt in der materiellen Welt. Das ist lustvolle Absichten auf zur Sinnbefriedigung. Da hört man traditionell das Lila von Sankachuda. Sankachuda hatte auch den Wunsch, die Gopis von Krishna wegzubringen. Der hat sie richtig weggetrieben, um sie an einem Ort, in einem Geheim, mit denen, Sense Enjoyment zu machen. Und Krishna hat das denn natürlich nicht toleriert, hat die Restgopis in die Obhut von Balaram gegeben und ist dann dem Sankachuda hinterhergegangen und hat ihn zur Strecke gebracht. Und ich meine, wenn man das so hört und man sieht so, man sieht sich so an und denkt darüber nach, dann denkt der Devotee automatisch nach, oh ja, ich bin lustvoll. Aber die anderen Devotees oder andere Menschen, andere Lebewesen gehören eigentlich zu Krishna. Und dann betet er ganz in dem Lila, ich will doch nicht sein wie Sankachuda. Bitte tu diese Sankachuda-hafte Mentalität, andere auszubeuten für meinen Genuss, wegnehmen. Also der Devotee stellt sich diesem speziellen Anatta und verschönigt das nicht mit dem Lobekranz. Ach, das ist doch jetzt ganz, was weiß ich, sondern er sagt einfach, oh Krishna, das geht jetzt nicht, das muss. Und ich habe jetzt eins erzählt, was ich weiß, also das habe ich jetzt nicht, ich habe jetzt nicht das gewählt, weil ich denke, das hat besonders Relevanz zu den Devotees. Da gibt es ja ganz andere Sachen, wie zum Beispiel Pratishtha, Ansehen und diese ganzen Dinge. Statt also darüber hinwegzusehen, geflissentlich hinwegzusehen, sieht der Devotee, hier ist sowas, und betet zu Krishna, indem er so ein ganz besonderes Krishna-Lieder hört, wo diese Dinge ausradiert werden, nicht? Und betet zu Krishna, dass er kommt. Also Rupa Goswami betet, er sagt, ich denke, er spricht über Neid auf andere, ist ja auch etwas, was man kennt. Und er sagt, Krishna, ich denke, dass dein Spiel, die Kalia-Schlange zu besiegen, nicht auf ein einmaliges Event beschränkt sein sollte. Also, ich muss dir nämlich sagen, es gibt eine Schlange des Neides in meinem Herzen, die also das durchaus aufnehmen kann mit der Kalia-Schlange. Ich denke deswegen, dass es gut ist, wenn du auch in mein Herz kommst und diese Schlange des Neides zertrampelst. Also, finde ich sehr nice, wie er das sagt. Verstehst du, Gorahari? ein wenig gut. Also ich denke, wenn man diese Eigenschaften hat, das Wichtigste ist, dass man einfach sich darüber bewusst wird. Und das wird man normalerweise, wenn man mit Devotees Gemeinschaft hat. Weil in der Gemeinschaft mit Devotees fällt einem wirklich was auf. Mir war das gestern so gegangen. Ich hatte mit einem Devotee gesprochen und einfach so, wir hatten einfach so erzählt. Ich gemerkt, oh, hier habe ich einen großen Fehler gemacht. Auch gut, dass ich das jetzt gemerkt habe. Jetzt kann ich das wieder berichtigen und kann. Nicht? Also das ist, wenn man ein bisschen aufmerksamer ist in der Devotee-Gemeinschaft und die eben nicht vermeidet, sondern sie sucht, wie wir das hier alle tun, also ich rede ja von wir machen das alle, dann fällt dir was auf. Und du weißt, wo du dran bist mit dir. Und das tut manchmal weh. Ist einfacher, wenn man man merkt, dass die Bodhis, die das nicht aushalten, hingewiesen zu werden auf ihre Fehler, die wollen auch nicht mit die Bodhis Gemeinschaft pflegen. Die, oh, lass die mal hier, ich gehe woanders hin. Nicht? Aber dann kann man nicht so leicht die Dinge erkennen, wo man noch dran zu arbeiten hat und kann auf diese Weise sich nicht so läutern einfach. Deswegen wird erzählt vom Bharat Maharaj, man fragt sich ja, wieso ist er denn runtergefallen? Er nun wieder. Ne? Also gerade er doch nicht. Er müsste doch, und es wird erklärt von den Acharyas, er ist in die Einsamkeit gegangen und hat keine Gemeinschaft.